This isn't the message that I was going to preach tonight. This is the message I was going to preach Sunday night. So you're just going to have to listen like you're listening tonight, not Sunday night. So, and like I tell our folks all the time, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast.
Amen.
But if you listen slow, if I'm long-winded, it's your fault because you haven't listened quickly enough, okay? So, but, you know, being in Chile and being a missionary for the last, I guess this year would be 10 years ago, our church voted to send us out as missionaries this month, on the 26th of this month. I was saved February 25th of 2008, and I was a lost church member. I was a member of two different independent fundamental Baptist churches before I got saved. I always had a struggle with no peace in my life about my salvation, and the Lord finally broke through my pride.
Amen.
on that morning. It was a Monday morning, about 6 a.m. He broke through my pride and showed me my need of repentance and my need of receiving His gospel, the gospel.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. And now I can say that it is my gospel also.
Amen.
Amen. So just want to thank the Lord for that. And I just want to, you know, I've never doubted my salvation since that day.
That's good.
I've never been anxious about where I'm going to spend eternity.
That's good.
Never. And so tonight, if you'll stand with me tonight, we're just going to read three verses here, I believe. Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to start reading in verse number 6.
Amen.
It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's pray. Kind of most gracious Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, again for the night. Thank you, Father, for this church. I pray that you'd please just work your perfect will out in every single one of our lives tonight, Father. I thank you for the opportunity to be here to preach, Father. I pray that you would use your word in our hearts tonight, Father. Please, Father, just use your servant, Father, please. Just help me to say the things that you want and the things that you desire to be said tonight, Father, please. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Asiento, or be seated. This is the first time I've preached in English. It's been a good while. I'll just put it like that. So my message actually is written in Spanish. So we'll see how this all goes. But the Bible says here, it says, "Be careful for nothing." Why don't we read verses 1 through, starting verse 1 here. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you this, and beseech Stinche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other of my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, and let the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, verse 6 is a very famous verse.
Right.
We go to this verse. Say, when somebody's having problems or anything, we say, "Hey, be careful for nothing." But a lot of times that doesn't work, right? A lot of times we're still up at night. We can't sleep. We still have these problems on our minds. But it says here, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful. Careful means to be full of care.
Right.
Full of care. In Spanish, this word means to be thinking about something so laboriously and with so much work in your mind that you can't have any peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's afanosos.
Mm-hmm.
Por nada estéis afanosos. And so we see here, it says, "Be careful for nothing, to be full of care for no thing." And so we understand that, there's things that we have to get done. There's things that we have to do. But anytime that we're so careful for something that we can't sleep, that we're so preoccupied or anxious about something that just nothing else, we can't think about anything else, then there's a problem.
Right.
You know, and there's a solution. Amen. There's a solution.
Right.
It says, but in everything, it says, be careful, be full of care for no thing. But in everything,
yes,
by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know, by prayer and supplication, you know, we need to ask. We need to consciously speak, communicate with our Savior, with God. And many times we're not doing that. Me seeking counsel from Him is not the same as praying to my God.
That's good.
Me calling my brothers and sisters in Christ and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or hey, I'm in this situation. It's not the same thing as praying.
Right.
Making my petitions known unto God. It's not the same thing. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying the first thing, get on your knees and ask God. You need to get used to doing that. Because there's going to be some times and some situations that you're going to get into that you're not going to be able to call and be like, hey, I need help here. Or hey, I don't understand this. Or hey, can you please help me here? You're going to have to go straight to God. And that's what we should be doing to begin with. We should always, the first person that we bring, I shouldn't complain to my wife first. I shouldn't go and complain to brothers or sisters or my boss. I should talk to the Lord first. And I need to remember, I mean, it says by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Is it because He does not know? He knows the things that we need. He knows everything, but we need to do this out of obedience. And so maybe we can hear ourselves and He can work some things out.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we're not going to be able to call. We've had different situations to where I'm not going to be able to call my pastor. I'm not going to be able to call home or call other pastors. I'm not going to be able to call my wife. But He's always available. And I don't have to worry about my cell phone coverage. I don't need, I have to worry about how many bars I have or if my phone's charged.
Amen.
I can speak directly. Do you understand? We can speak directly to the Creator of all. By Him were all things created that were created.
Right.
All things. And I can access His power. I have His ear. Do I deserve that? Absolutely not. But I have His ear as my Father. You know, we get into situations to where there's not... I mean, we need to get used to doing this because when we do get in a situation, we need to be used to it and we just call upon Him. We've had so many situations happen. I remember our first 6 months in Chile were probably the worst 6 months of my entire life. And that first year was the worst year of my entire life. And we ended that year up in the hospital with our youngest son at the time. He'd been mauled by a Rottweiler and almost dead. On the way to the hospital, I couldn't call anybody. Well, I could only make my petitions known unto Him. Please save my boy. Don't let my boy die. Don't let him die in my arms. Please save him. You know, and we're in a healthcare system. We're in a healthcare system where they're not doing the things that I want them to do. Who do I talk to? Only to Him. To my Father. And you know, He worked all that out. My son's still doing therapy. He's still going through all that. He has the pain and everything still. But my Father knows, and He worked all those things out. I still have my son.
Amen.
You know, my son, one day, Isaiah, we had to go for another test up in Santiago. And to go to Santiago, I mean, you have to take a bus by night most of the time. And that's about a 10-hour bus ride. Or you can drive, which is 8 to 9 hours. And so we rode the bus at night. We rode all the way up there, and we get, they're going to have to do this MRI. They're going to have to knock him out, put him under anesthesia to do this MRI because they needed him to be completely still. And he's sitting on the table, and he got this look on his face, and I was like, "What's wrong, Isaiah?" He won't say anything. He didn't want to make his petition known unto his father. I said, "Isaiah, if you don't talk to me, I can't understand what's in your heart." And so he goes, "What if this goes bad?" What if I don't wake up? He was 6. I said, "Isaiah," I said, "the only thing I know is that God's grace, you're covered under God's grace."
Amen.
He didn't understand sin. He didn't understand his sin. He didn't understand. I said, all I know is my faith is in the Lord.
That's right.
Whatever happens, He's got it.
Amen.
He was like, "Okay, Dad." Off just a sane mind, "Okay, Dad." And he allowed them to take him back.
Amen.
About a year later, he made a profession of faith. You know, I was like, "Well, praise the Lord, he made a profession of faith." We baptized him. We saw him get baptized. You know, here about 3 months ago, I got done preaching in Spanish. And after service, he goes, "Can we go into your office right now?" Please, can we go to your office right now?
Right.
And I said, "Well, yeah." And we go in there, and he goes, "I'm lost, and I need to get saved."
Amen.
He goes, "I know I'm lost." And I was like, I wanted to start, "Well, what about this other time?" And the Lord was just like, "Shut up." In my heart, the Lord speaks to me sometimes like that in my heart. "Shut up. I'm working. Allow me to work." And so many times I've had to just go like this because the Lord is working.
Right.
And we got to let Him work. I don't need to be full of care for what the Lord is doing because He's obviously working in my son's heart.
Amen.
And he goes, "I know I'm lost." And he got down on his knees. He asked the Lord to forgive him of his sins. And he said, "Oh, I'm saved now, Dad. I know it." He doesn't have to be full of care for his salvation anymore. Because why? Why? It's in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
You know, so many times I hear people, you know, in my own life for 5 years of being a church member, you know, I was full of care, anxious about my own salvation. But the Bible teaches that I'm accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
I am accepted in Him. My salvation is 100% in the hands of God. I don't have to be anxious about that.
Right. Amen.
You know, I want to just show you something here, real quick. I know that almost everyone here has a testimony of salvation. But do you know Luke chapter 15, that there's a man here. I was saved out of Luke 15 about the man that has the 100 sheep, he loses the one, and he goes into the wilderness. He goes into the wilderness seeking that one, and he brings it back on his shoulders, joyous. "Come and rejoice with me."
Amen.
You know, I got saved off that morning, February 25th, 2008. I stopped at Luke chapter 15, and I spoke with the Lord. I was like, "Lord, Your Word says in 1 John chapter 5 that I can know that I have eternal life."
Amen.
Why don't I know that? I want to know. If I can't know like your word says, if I can't be sure like your word says, what is going on? I want to know if I'm saved or if I'm lost. I want to know for sure. And so I got to reading this, and it says here, and he says, and when he cometh home in verse 6, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I stand to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And the Lord said, you need repentance. You need to repent of your sins. And he started to show me that, you know, everybody has those worst sins that are worse than all of them, than total. All of them. And he showed me in my heart, when I look at you, I see that sin.
Yep.
Because that's all I can see. You need to repent. Pedir perdón. Ask for forgiveness. You know, the Bible says in Job chapter 33, verse number 27, if any man will say, I have sinned, I perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. That's the kind of heart God can work in. That's the kind of heart God can work in. And we see here that God wants repentance. But what I want to show you tonight, what I want to show you here, is in verse 11. So there was a man that had two sons. A man that had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent them into the fields to feed swine. And that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Amen.
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 Right?
Yes.
I want you to see something here. This boy was living in sin.
Right.
At what point in time did he ever doubt that his father was his father? Was he in the far country? Do I have a father? Was he in the far country doubting whether or not he was his father's son? No. He knew. I'm in sin. I know. But in my father's house, there was no doubt. He wasn't anxious about the fact that he had a father. He was anxious about his sin. Do you get the difference there? He wasn't doubting that he was his father's son. He was doubting that he was in the right place. And had communion with his father. And he said, I know where I need to go. A child of God knows who their father is. You will. And you'll call upon him. You'll seek him. You'll remember. In my father's house, you'll repent of your sin. He wasn't anxious about the fact about, you know, for application, he wasn't anxious about the fact that he was saved. He was anxious about the fact that he was out of God's will. There's a huge difference there, brethren. He never doubted who his father was. You know, we need to be, you know, one thing that we should never be full of care about is whether or not God has saved me. Because if you're saved, you know you're saved. If not, you need to get saved.
Amen.
It's just that, I mean, do you really think that it's that simple? Yes, I believe it's that simple. Salvation's not complicated, but my pride is complicated. My pride is complicated. When somebody tells me that I need to repent, what? Me? My pride is complicated. But we see here in Philippians, to be careful for nothing. It says, in the peace of God, in verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
The peace of God. You can have the peace of God when you have Romans 5:1, peace with God.
Amen.
When you're no longer His enemy, you can have the peace of God.
That's right.
Or I pray that God never gives you that peace, or allows you to even be fooled by that peace, because I was fooled for so many years. You know, we see this, we understand these verses. But let me ask you, a good question would be, how do I know whether, I mean, sometimes, how do I know if I'm careful, if I'm anxious about something? Well, I think there's a test here. It's a pretty good one, too. It's not because it's only because it's written.
Right.
Look at verse 1. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Paul knew how to write. Miss Kastner earlier, I was like, I don't speak English well or Spanish well anymore. I can't speak anything well. But Paul sure did. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my Amen. Dearly beloved. It says to a star, firme in Spanish. Stand fast. When I can't stand fast, when I can't be firm, I guess in English, when I can't be stable, I'm anxious about something. I'm being careful about something. I'm being full of care about something. When it says to be not be full of care for anything, for no thing,
that's right.
I'm full of care about something. When I cannot stand fast. Look at verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech. It's easier to pronounce this in Spanish. Cinque, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Hey, you want to know something? When I can't be of the same mind in the Lord with a brother or a sister, I'm full of care about something.
Right.
Well, you don't understand the situation. Well, maybe I don't. But that doesn't negate the fact that you're full of care about something.
Yeah.
We all have different situations.
Amen.
That these two brothers, these two people, they be of the same mind. They must be brothers in Christ, because they're commanded to be, that they need to be in the same mind in the Lord. But our politics are different. Whoop-de-doo. I don't care. I tell the brethren down there. You know, we've seen Haitians get saved. We've seen people from Ecuador get saved, Ecuadorianos. We've seen Venezuelanos get saved. We've seen Chilenos get saved. We've seen Mapuche get saved.
Amen.
You know, we've seen all these different people get saved. You want to know about their politics? Their politics are totally different.
That's right.
But we can be in the same mind in the Lord.
Amen.
Because this is right. I can have a different opinion about politics. And if you don't like that, you probably just need to shut up, to be honest, because your attitude's not correct. Well, this is right. Well, I need to be in the same mind in the Lord and worry about the things of the Lord.
Amen.
And so we see here that they need to be in the same mind. So there's always conflict. We always have conflict. There's conflict in in the ninth region of Chile has the most conflict. War.
Yeah.
Than any other region. The only thing that's going to fix that is the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel.
Amen.
The good news, the buenas nuevas. They need to hear the good news that they don't have to be at war.
Amen.
For things that happened hundreds of years ago.
Right.
You know, I tell the brethren, I've told our Mapuche brethren, hey, you want to know something? That's part about being conquered. You got your ground taken away. You're going to have to live with it. You know, we look at the nation of Israel. They were under occupation.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to follow the rule of law. So they need to also. But then we need to have a little bit of compassion about the things that have happened.
That's right.
We need to have compassion about the things that have happened. People that have been offended. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't care. We need to be of the same mind in the Lord. In the Lord. And we can be. And we can be.
Amen.
You know, it says here, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life.
Amen.
When we can't help laborers of the gospel,
yeah,
we're full of care about something. Mm. Well, it says here that they were supposed to be helping those women that labored in the gospel. Amen. You know what? Like Brother Kastner said, if it wasn't for our wives, we couldn't be in the ministry.
Right.
They are laborers in the gospel. They are laborers in the gospel. They can't be preachers. They can't be deacons. They can't teach men. I don't think it really says anything else. You know what I'm saying? We need to help those people that are laboring in the gospel. And it says here, so if we can't do that, if I have a bad attitude towards somebody that's ministering in the gospel,
yeah,
a fellow laborer in the gospel, I'm full of care about something.
Right.
And I need to change that. I need to fix it.
Amen.
It's called repentance. Man, I've had people mad at me over some pretty crazy things. I can giggle about it now. But I was full of care about it then. You know, we had one person get so mad at me that I was just, I think I was the devil. I was the devil incarnate, you know. Wrote me a, 26 or 28 page manifesto. That was a blessing, let me tell you. But I gave it to the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. When I can't help a fellow laborer in the Lord, in the gospel, when I can't help those people that are co-laboring, when I'll help the pastor, but I won't help the others, or when I'll help the others, but not the pastor, there's something wrong.
Amen.
I'm full of care about something, and I need to communicate with the Lord first.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Hey, where do you think we're going with this? When I can't rejoice in the Lord, when I can't always rejoice, I'm full of care about something. Look at how much we need to have to rejoice about. You know, our salvation. You know, the miracle that I was dead in sins and trespasses and God made me alive.
Amen.
He resurrected me.
Yes.
That was a miracle. Biggest miracle I've ever happened in my entire life. And the care God has had for me since my salvation, the calling God has put in my
Amen.
Life, and all the things that He has done, I can rejoice in that.
Yes.
Well, you don't understand my situation today. Or you don't understand what I'm going through. Hey, I understand some things.
Yes.
But I can still rejoice in the goodness of God. And when we bring ourselves to do that, when we bring our petitions before Him with thanksgiving, that's rejoicing, is it not? Look at what You've done in my life, Lord. You know, I look at my life. I made a profession when I was probably 11 years old. It was in a little independent fundamental Baptist church. You know, the preacher was preaching about going to hell. And he preached about going to hell all the time. All the time. And now, you know, I didn't want to go to hell. And so one night, you know, I remember several different, you know, watch night services for New Year's. And he would always, hey, if the New Year doesn't come, if God doesn't allow, you know, 1986, or whatever the year is, that year is 1986 to come, where are you going to be? And I remember, you know, running forward and just bawling at the altar. And I remember my mom ran forward and she started bawling. And I remember the preacher coming down there and him start bawling too. But nobody took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. Slapped me on the back, said, you're in good shape now, son. I am in good shape now. For about a month. Then I got in rebellion, just fell away. The very first time I was persecuted, I remember trying to tell somebody at school about the Lord. And they were like, making fun of me. I was like, we're done with that. In all my teen years, just rebellion. Ended up being met my wife in high school. We ended up having our Elizabeth, our first child in high school. I remember taking her to class with me because I worked it. I was like, I'm going to do the right thing. I worked at night and I went to school during the day. And we didn't have enough money for a babysitter, so I'd take her to school with me. We had another baby out of wedlock. And then we ended up getting married. And then, you know, during those first 5 years of marriage, there's no possibility. We should have been divorced 100 times over. But God didn't allow that. He was working to work. I remember finally getting back into church. We went to a little Southern Baptist church. We showed up for 3 weeks in a row, and we were members because we showed up for 3 weeks in a row. Started giving tithe check. Well, not real tithe check. We're writing out a check for $100. You know. And then the treasurer said, hey, why don't you come count the money with me?
Wow.
During the sermon. The pastor wants the number up before his sermon ends. And I was like, well, I was listening to the sermon. Now we got to get this done. This is serving the Lord. And so we started doing that. Counting the money, man. I'm counting the money at the church. Living wickedly during the week. Remember God, I was manager of I always worked in the mines, in the underground, in quarries. And I got an opportunity to run a river terminal on the Mississippi River. I was manager of a river terminal unloading coal barges. I was working 18, 20 hours a day, never seen my family. And God allowed an accident to happen where I almost lost my life. Another man was crippled for life to wake me up. Got in the church. God was dealing with me about... There was evangelist Mark Green. He's from Push, Tennessee or something like that. He was preaching. And I went forward. I was bawling. 27-year-old man just bawling at the altar. And then in my pride, I was like, I made a profession right here at the same altar when I was 11. I need to do something with that. And I started working. We became church members, got baptized, became church members, you know, off that profession of faith, and then ended up 5 years later February 25th, 2008, that's when I got saved.
Amen.
God did a work. God did a work.
Amen.
You know, it says here to rejoice in the Lord. I can rejoice in the Lord for the work and the mercy He had in my life, that He didn't just didn't throw me away.
Amen.
Rotten.
Yeah.
I was rotten. I'm still, my flesh is rotten. But there's a new man in me.
Amen.
A nueva criatura. New creature. New creature in Christ. God did that. I can rejoice in that. On my worst day, I can rejoice in the fact that He's my Father.
Yes.
And He has done a work in my life, and He will continue to do a work in my life. It says here in verse number 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand."
Mm.
When we cannot, when we can't let our moderation to be known, when we can't show how humble we are, or our humbleness, our moderation in the things that we're doing, there's something going on. I'm full of care about something. You know, we see here in verse number 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." When I can't think on those things, I'm full of care about something. When I can't think about things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, when I can't think on those things, I'm full of care about something, brethren. In verse number 9. It says here, "In those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." When I can't do the things that I've seen, do the things that I've learned, do the things that I've received in the Lord, in the church, I'm full of care about something.
Yes.
You know, we see all this. We see this. It's almost like God wrote that there for a reason. Amen.
Amen.
It's written for a reason. And we can sit there and be like, "I'm not full of care about something. I'm not preoccupied about something. I'm not anxious about anything. You know, everything's going well." But can you do those things, brethren? And if we can, when that works out, then we can work out the rest of the chapter.
That's good.
When verses 1 through 9 are in order, hey, it's fixing. If we look at this, when verses 1 through 9 are in order, then I can have verses the rest of the verses in this chapter. And there's some good stuff here.
Amen.
"But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now and at the last the care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." You know, he's talking about that. You know, this is the church at Philippi.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we read about the church at Philippi in Acts chapter number 16, where he saw the Macedonian man and said, "Come help me."
Yeah.
And he went, and a church was established there. He met Lydia. He met the lady, or the young lady that was possessed. You know, the Philippian jailer. He was about to kill himself. All those folks, all the heartache that he felt there, the whippings, you know, him being embarrassed publicly. That's this church.
Amen.
And he says here, he says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now the at last your care of me hath flourished again." They were caring for him, but they didn't have an opportunity, or something happened to where they couldn't do it. But now it's re-flourished. It's flourished again. He says, "I rejoice in the Lord for that. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all good things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, notwithstanding ye have done well, you have well done that ye did communicate with me in my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again for my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account.
Amen.
He says, you know, he understands here. He's telling him, hey, you want to know something? I've understood and I've learned that to be content in whatever situation I'm in. But I desired this from you because I desired fruit in your account.
Amen.
You want to know something? That count is in heaven. Isn't it a count that, hey, now Paul is in debt to them. He has to go back and he has to do something for them. No, the account is in heaven. And it can never be taken away, brethren.
Amen.
Why? Because he's teaching them to be careful for nothing. Pray to God. Have the peace of God.
Yeah.
To rejoice in the Lord. To have these things correct. And that now they have this correct also. They're communicating with Him in His need.
Amen.
And this is going to abound in their account.
Yes.
It doesn't just say it's deposited in their account. It says it abounds.
Good.
I mean, that means it's bigger.
Yeah.
It's fuller.
Yeah.
It's more gooder. It's better.
Amen.
You know, as a missionary, I covet your prayers the most. Because I know there's churches praying for the Pittman family all over the United States. And we need it.
Amen.
We need it because we go through some stuff. We had, you know, we had a lot of protest in 2019. The police down there, they killed a young indigenous man. Were recorded. I'm not saying whether he deserved it or not, but he died by the hands of the police. And the whole country was in an uproar. And they were protesting in our region the most because that's where most of the indigenous folks, and most indigenous folks in Chile live in our region. And so they were looting, they were tearing stuff up, they were doing all these things. And it started happening right outside the church building. Right outside the church building. Our church building sits kind of on a corner of five different roads. Well, how can it be on a corner of five different roads? You'd have to be there and see it. It's just the way that it is. They're burning stuff in front of there. And then one night, they got it pretty good. Some pretty good fires going on, and they threw a burning tire on the front door of the church. And I believe it's an angel of the Lord. Told him, don't burn the church. Don't burn that church. Not because, well, what are we going to do without our church building? No, because I know how bad it would have been for them had they burnt our church building down.
Right.
They would have came in and it would have been bad. Now, I've gone to the church house and there's shotgun shells laying on the front of the church. The wadding from the shots in front of the church house. They tore stuff up. They tried to burn it down. And so then, you know, God didn't allow it to happen. And so then me and my wisdom, I was like, men, we need to go sit at the church house every night. And so we went over there and we started just reading scriptures. You know, I say in my wisdom, but it was probably a pretty foolish thing that we did. We should have just boarded it up and went home because we could have gotten into a fight, which wouldn't have been good. So then we're there. That happened a Wednesday night after church services. And so then Friday night we're sitting out there, we're reading the scriptures, and here they come again, carrying, dragging mattresses and gallons of gasoline or liters of gasoline, I guess, burning stuff in front of the church. And here comes their leader straight for me. As a side note, how did they know I was a leader? Why'd they come straight to me? Because they knew who was in authority. You know, in conversos, the people that weren't converted knew who the authority was in the church. That's where you go to first. Just as a side note.
Amen.
So they went directly to me and they said, we have a right to manifest in the street. We have a right to protest in the street. And I said, well, I'm not saying that you don't. But we have a right to not have our stuff tore up, and you guys tore it up the other night. Well, it wasn't us. And this is an indigenous group. And they're talking, and I said, hey, Victor. I said, you need to talk to this person. And so I said, step inside, let Victor talk to you. And they stepped inside, and they saw, you know, at our pulpit, we have the Chilean flag, we have the Mapuche flag, and then we have the Baptist flag. They saw, what's our flag doing in your church? I said, because about half the members here are Mapuche. We didn't know that. I said, well, I thought you all didn't do it. Because she was telling me. We didn't do that. There's people that enter into our protests and do all this stuff. I said, well, I thought you all didn't do it. And so we just preached the gospel to them.
Amen.
We're not here to take away your culture. I think your culture is beautiful.
Amen.
We're not here to take away your dress. I think the dress that you guys have, traditional dress, is beautiful. We're here to turn you from idols to the one true living God.
Amen.
Be converted. And that's why we're there.
Right.
That's why we need help.
Amen.
That's why we need help. We need your prayers. And we need, like Paul says here, we need no better word, but the gift that you can give us in support.
Amen.
And all these things. It says, but my God shall supply all your need.
Amen.
According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's the best place to get your supply from, because it's permanent. The help that you give these missionaries,
amen,
that you all support, is abounding in your account.
Amen.
So, as he says here, be careful for nothing. You can have the peace of God in all things. First thing, one more time, about your salvation.
Yeah.
You should have the peace of God in your life for your salvation. You should have the peace of God in your calling. In your calling. You can have the peace of God in your membership.
Amen.
In your membership. You can have the peace of God in all areas of your life. You need to communicate to Him. And if any of the things are missing in verses 1 through 9, you ought to ask the Lord to show you what you're being careful, full of care about. And give it to Him.
Amen.
He's able. You know, we sing with the kids, He is able. He is able. I know He is able. Right?
He is
able. And He'll do it. We've seen Him do it on the field and in our personal lives. I've seen Him do it in my own salvation. Because there's nothing harder to win than a lost church member.
Right.
Oh, boy. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I have done.
Yeah.
He's able.
Amen.
What are you careful about? What are you being careful about? Give it to the Lord.
Amen.
What are you full of care about tonight? Just give it to the Lord, please. Let's pray.
Amen.
Kind of most gracious Heavenly Father.